Who's Uzbekistan? Where's Uzbekistan? Why Uzbekistan? How's Uzbekistan? Beck is in Uzbekistan. What's going good and what's going bad? As she's live from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in the heart of Central Asia.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum. It is, if you're listening on the East Coast of the United States, it is still Christmas Day. If you are listening in this side of the world, it is Thursday, December 26, 2024. And I returned yesterday afternoon from a very unique experience. So, my friend and I did a package tour to the beach in Vietnam. So this is very, very different than other travel experiences I have had. So apparently these packages are extremely common in this part of the world. And why it is so exciting. When I saw the price, I said, sign me up. So for two people, it was just over $1,600 US for round trip direct airline tickets and 7 nights at the Wyndham and airport transfer. Yes, and then while we were there, I think we spent a combined maybe $450. So, yes. About $2,000 in total for two people to spend 7 nights in the resort in Vietnam. So, yes, a very different experience. So, but very, very beautiful and very fun. It was basically just kind of like, you know, kind of like being in Myrtle Beach. So these tour companies operate out of here. And then, like, on the ground, they hire lots of Russian-speaking tour guides and employees. So, with the company that we went with, I mean, I think I came in contact with maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 different Russian people living and working for this tour company. And then, at the Wyndham, again, I think it was maybe about 6 or 8 Russian people I saw, or Russian-speaking people I saw working there, because they have such a huge influx of Russian guests. And a lot of those were also from Kazakhstan, tons and tons and tons of people from Kazakhstan. And then, of course, also tons and tons and tons of package tours from China. And I would go so far as to guess that the hotel staff and those tour companies also have Chinese-speaking staff. So, you know, I was imagining that, you know, we would need my English, but really we only minimally needed my English. But we were in this big, like, prefab, like, town specifically designed for tourists. So, like, big resorts, kind of like Barefoot Landing or Broadway at the Beach at Myrtle Beach, where there's, like, shops and stuff. But add in the big chain hotels and put it right at the beach. And that's kind of what it looked like. A lot of the shops and restaurants were not open, presumably because they did not reopen after the pandemic. And then a lot of the restaurants didn't open until the evening because people on these big package tours, you eat the big buffet breakfast. So, you know, you don't really eat again until dinner time. So, not tons of vegan options, but enough. Somehow we miraculously ended up at the best hotel in terms of location, that we had just a little 10-minute walk to the beach and a little 10-minute walk to the restaurants. So, had this wonderful big buffet breakfast that had to accommodate a lot of different international tastes. So, you know, Chinese people like to eat a lot of pork. Well, people from Muslim countries do not eat pork. So the pork had to be very clearly labeled on the buffet. And lots of some Chinese breakfast dishes that I appreciated. And yeah, and one little station with cereal that I was the only person eating. In the whole 7 days on the island, I only encountered two other English-speaking families. So, just to hang out, to get to swim at the beach. I hadn't seen the beach in 5 years. It's only my second time taking a vacation with another person. My first time being on an airplane with another person. So, very, very different than my normal. So that was the excitement is the price for the quality. And this is definitely not the last time I will take one of these excursions. I hope not, anyway. I think where the puzzlement comes in is, you know, looking at the tourism industry. Okay, so obviously this was one extreme, like a prefab town where they've wrangled all the tourists together. And the island had free buses that trot the tourists, you know, from the airport to the resorts and to some attractions and that, you know, like amusement parks and night safari and that type of thing. You know, so this is like this Uber, and on these package tours. So I would call that like Uber tourism infrastructure. But, you know, that's one extreme end that does seem a little bit disingenuous in some ways. Now, it was super convenient and it was super safe. I didn't even really feel like I was in a foreign country. But, I mean, certainly nothing was really the quintessential Vietnam experience. Though we did eat some Vietnamese food. So, go to the far other end of the spectrum, and here, you know, they just really don't have any tourism infrastructure, particularly for a solo traveler. There's things where you can hire a guide, and like in the mountains, they have, you know, are building and have some like big, they call them sanatoriums, but you know, big like resort type things, But like for like the solo or individual traveler, you know, just not a lot of infrastructure. In terms of how all that gets coordinated. So, you know, that's another set of challenges. So it seems like, you know, this Uber tourism infrastructure or limited or no tourism infrastructure. You know, it just seems like we need to come to the middle on this, you know, that, like, yeah, there needs to be accessible transport, you know, for tourists, accessible and suitable accommodations. That doesn't necessarily mean a fancy hotel. It can be a nice youth hostel. But, you know, reasonable accommodations for a variety of price points, accessibility to notable attractions, you know, accessibility to tourist food. And, you know, a lot of people poo-poo tourist food, but, you know, considering I don't eat animal products, that means I need tourist food in a lot of places. That can we, in either circumstance, can we have a more moderate approach to tourism? I don't exactly know what that looks like or how that is, But don't like the feeding frenzy on tourists, though, either. So, it's a complicated industry to, like, have things accessible where people can come visit other countries safely and accessibly, but with maintaining some sense of authenticity. Anyway, so that's a little bit about that. So, ate lots of tropical fruit and just enjoyed swimming on the beach and enjoyed the good weather. When I arrived back in Tashkent yesterday, all the pollution was just terrible. It was just so gray. But it looks like the sun is out this morning, so hopefully that's going in a little better direction. So, anyway, very excited about the concept of the package tour. And, you know, it's not like a tour where like they like trotted you around to different things each day. It was just to get you to the beach. So, they have these packages commonly to Thailand, I think maybe to Turkey, maybe to Dubai. So, hopefully at some point in the future, I'll get to do some others. So you book it through an agent or possibly online, and then it hooks you up with the tour operator. And the company that I was with, there was another also large company in the area. So this is like a big industry. So very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. And grateful I had the opportunity. So here we are, you know, on the precipice of second semester starting on January 6th. So, just hoping to continue the Tashkent, Uzbekistan adventure in a good direction. So, that's it for today. What am I excited about? What am I puzzled about? And how long do I plan to stay? Whoever you are, wherever you're listening, in the Central Piedmont, doing whatever you're doing in the Central Piedmont, and anywhere else in this great world, thank you for listening and see you next time.